The resurrection of Jesus, the evidence for it, can withstand the toughest of critical scrutiny. I've had 26 public debates now, and I've really been surprised at how well it does. I mean, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I couldn't even spell MIT when I got into college, you know, much less get into a place like that. And here I was debating people from Princeton and Yale and these places and doing really, really well.
Welcome to Think About It, a podcast from Houston Baptist University here in Houston, Texas. At HBU, we empower our students so their beliefs can fuel their lives. From our competitive nursing program to our world-renowned theologians, we prepare our students to thrive at the university level and beyond. And now we join our host, Dr. Jerry Johnston, with today's guest.
Today we're joined by Dr. Michael Lacona. He's a preeminent scholar whose expertise lies in the historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus and the historical reliability of the Gospels. His academic books include an incredible book, The Resurrection of Jesus, A New Historiographical Approach, and Why Are There Differences in the Gospels? What Can We Learn from Ancient Biography? Welcome, Dr. Lacona.
Well, thank you, Dr. Johnston. Good talking with you.
Hey, you are a part of the School of Christian Thought at HBU, and Dr. Sloan, I know, has great affection for you. He said that to me several times. Tell me why you decided to join the School of Christian Thought at Houston Baptist University.
Oh, I love Houston Baptist University, and I feel honored to be a member of the faculty, and I have great affection for Dr. Sloan. I guess it was back I was in, making a transition in 2011, and one of the philosophy professors on faculty there, I met him at the annual meeting of the Evangelical Theological Society, Jerry Walls. And he said, we were introduced, and he said, what are you doing? Where are you teaching? I said, well, I'm in transition. He says, man, I need your CV. I'd love to pass it on to Dr. Sloan at HBU. I had heard great things about HBU, and what I really liked about it, it wasn't, on the fundamentalist side, it was an evangelical side, but it was broadly evangelical, where you had people who, there was this, like, the statement of faith was a C.S. Lewis, mere Christianity statement of faith. You know, we believe that God created the deity, atoning death, bodily resurrection of Jesus, salvation by faith, divine inspiration of the scriptures, Jesus coming again. But beyond that, there was a lot of flexibility within the evangelical tent. And I just loved that. That was like, that's exactly the kind of place where I would love to be. And so that at night, I forwarded my CV to Jerry. He forwarded it to Dr. Sloan. And I'll never forget Dr. Sloan. He sent me an email the day before Thanksgiving that year. It was just less than a week after seeing Jerry, or about a week after. And he said, Mike, just wanted you to know I received your CV and I'm looking at it with interest. Just wanted you to know that over Thanksgiving holiday. And I thought, that is just so neat. So he endeared himself to me when he did that. I'll never forget that. So I just love HBU. I love the faculty there. We all get along. We have some diverse opinions within the evangelical framework, but we all get along. We kind of celebrate those differences that we can do that and focus on the gospel essentials.
We're talking to Dr. Michael Lacona, a preeminent scholar whose expertise lies in the historical evidence for the resurrection. Your book is really, I mean, quite renowned, The Resurrection of Jesus. How many pages is it?
Oh, I think it's 700 and some.
Long does it take to write a 700-page book?
Long time. I mean, it's a slightly revised version of my doctoral dissertation. And so I was doing my doctoral studies for 5.5 years, but some of the information in the book or in that dissertation was based on other research that I'd done for, you know, probably 4, 5, 6 years before that. So, it's probably close to 10 years of research.
10 years. Dr. Lacona, tell us what drew you to this essential topic of the resurrection.
Well, that's a good question. I was in graduate school, master's degree in New Testament studies back in 1985. It was the fall of 85, and I was loving my research, loving my work, and just one day I just started to question my faith, and I thought, how do I know Christianity is really true? I've been brought up in a Christian family. I've really only been exposed to Christianity. I don't even know that many atheists. I don't even know if I knew any at that point. And I got thinking, well, if I'd been brought up in Afghanistan, maybe I'd be Muslim. Maybe if I'd been brought up in China, I'd be an atheist, etc. How do I know that I really have this relationship with Christ? I think I do. And I'm praying an hour to 2 hours a day. I'm reading scriptures hours a day. And I'm enjoying it. I feel an intimacy with God. Well, then I thought, well, Mormons also claim to have such an experience, and so do others. So how do I know it's true? And someone referred me to Gary Habermas, and I never had him for a course, but I remember walking into his office and telling him I was having doubts and asked if I could speak to him. And so he did. He said he had experienced doubts at one point, and he turned my attention to the resurrection. He says, well, if Jesus rose, then Christianity's true, and here's some evidence for it. So that was my initial exposure to the topic. And then later on, I just looked into it more, and then more, and then more. And eventually decided to do my doctoral dissertation on it and approach it from a historical perspective using the tools that professional historians would use.
Dr. Lycona, when you jumped into such a what we know as an essential New Testament doctrine, in fact, the deciding doctrine, I guess, of the New Testament, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
When you decided to jump in there, you didn't just have academic research and produce a thesis and get a PhD and publish such a highly regarded book, but you've been on the front lines debating antagonists of Christianity.
That's true, Jerry.
Let's talk about those debates. And we're talking to Dr. Michael Lycona. He's a professor at the School of Christian Thought, Houston Baptist University in Houston, Texas. Tell us about those frontline debates you've had.
Well, they're kind of fun. I got involved. I know debating isn't fun for everyone. I guess I just have a personality for it. And, I always get along with my debate opponent. We always have fun. A lot of times we have dinner beforehand, and I've made friends with several of them. I initially got involved because I wanted to take my ideas that I was doing during my doctoral research and put them out there in front of some of the top experts and see what they were going to say. I know you can do this through the peer review process, and I was doing that as well. But I figured, what better way to do it than to put it in front of some of these top guys out there and girls and Muslims and agnostics and atheists and see how they would respond to it. And I could see if these things really hold up. And what I started to find, Dr. Johnson, is that the resurrection of Jesus, the evidence for it, can withstand the toughest of critical scrutiny. I've had 26 public debates now, and I've really been surprised at how well it does. I mean, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I couldn't even spell MIT when I got into college, much less get into a place like that. And here I was debating people from Princeton and Yale and these places and doing really, really well. So the evidence is that good. I enjoy it. I think that debate is a good, entertaining way for someone who is seeking truth to hear both sides in a succinct manner and to see on that spot how the other person would respond to those arguments and having the best arguments put forward so that they can make intelligent decisions on very important matters.
Now, when you talk about 26 debates, give us the names of some of the people that you have squared off with and some of the different venues.
Well, Bart Ehrman and I have had, we've met up on five occasions, three face-to-face and two over a syndicated podcast, and we're going to debate again next spring. Dale Martin, who teaches at Yale, Elaine Pagels, who teaches at Princeton, Shabir Ali, the leading Muslim debater in the world, Evan Fales, a leading atheist philosopher, Larry Shapiro, an atheist philosophy professor who teaches at University of Wisconsin in Madison. Greg Cavan, a philosophy professor. Ali Atiyah, a Muslim. Yusuf Ismail, the leading Muslim debater in South Africa. I'm sure there's some others. They're just not coming to my mind immediately.
Well, I mean, that's...
Richard Carrier, another leading atheist.
And, you know, Bart Ehrman, let's just pause there for a minute. I mean, here is this guy from Lawrence, Kansas, on fire for God as a teenager at U for Christ. His dad or mom gets cancer and dies, and the suffering question comes in, and then he, you know, Senator Bruce Metzger at Princeton, unbelievable. I mean, Bruce Metzger, I think, indicated he was a diligent student, but as we both know, Bruce Metzger would have convulsions if he knew how Bart Ehrman turned out. What happened? What happened to him?
Well, his account is that after he went to Moody Bible Institute and Wheaton, and then he was at Princeton, he was writing a paper trying to solve the discrepancy in the Gospel of Mark, where it says David ate the bread of offering when Abiathar was the high priest, whereas when you go back to the Old Testament, it says Ahimelech, Abiathar's dad, was the high priest. And so he's trying to resolve this in this research paper he's writing. And the professor writes back and he says, why not just acknowledge that Mark made an error here? And he thought, hark, maybe Mark made an error. And I believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, and that does not bode well with an error, so I'm going to give up my belief in the inerrancy of Scripture. And so that he made that step, and then later on he's thinking about the problem of pain, evil, and suffering, and he thought, well, that's not compatible with the Christian God, the existence of pain, evil, and suffering. And so, and he said that all the arguments that are offered for that don't, to answer that, don't really work. He said they're contradictory, whereas, you know, in his book, God's Problem. So he ended up giving up his Christian faith, and he calls himself a happy agnostic. I had heard that he'd gone over to atheism, and then I heard he was an agnostic again. So I don't know where he's at. I find that, as one of our HBU colleagues, Craig Evans, says, that when you give up Christianity based upon because you think there's an error in the Gospels or the Bible, that's a brittle fundamentalism there. Because it's not an all-or-nothing thing. You can still have historical reliability. You can still have the truths, and the Bible being trustworthy, even if it weren't error-free. You don't say you can't trust any of it, even if you find a small discrepancy within the peripheral details that really don't change anything. So if you kind of look at that, and then you see his reasoning for thinking that the Christian God can't exist because of the existence of evil, pain, and suffering, well, I think the existence of evil, pain, and suffering is entirely compatible with the Christian God, given the narrative that we find within Scriptures. So if those were his real reasons for leaving the faith, they're really weak reasons. Were there other reasons? Well, only Bart knows.
Right.
So, I can't really go beyond that.
And we've often said that a man's morality defines his theology. I don't know if you'd agree with that statement.
I think it does in many cases. Whether it did in Bart's case, I don't know. But in some cases, certainly.
And then zeroing back in on Bart, so when you take the debate stage next to him, how are you trying to move the audience? He's a very skilled, powerful debater. And he knows how he's got some drama to him. And,
yes.
You know, unlike many, you know, who are polite Christians, they, you know, this guy will tear you apart on a platform if you're not ready. How do you do it?
Well, I don't know. I guess over time I've developed the friendship with Bart. And I think when we get on the stage, we always have a spirited debate. Always, every time we've had a debate, it's been a spirited one. But we seem to do it respectfully. We don't call one another names. Like I said, we will treat one another with respect. And I think it makes for a good debate. So, and I'll come right back at him as well. I don't mind doing that. And he knows that if I'm throwing it right back at him, he knows that, you know, I care for him. Every time I see him, I go up and I hug him. Like if I see him at the annual meeting of the Society of Biblical Literature last year or 2 years, 2 years ago, I attended a debate between him and another Christian named Justin Bass. And when Bart saw me sitting in the audience, he was up on stage. It was before the debate. He saw me. He smiled. He stood up, came off the stage. I walked up to him, and we hugged each other. So, I mean, we're friends. But I don't hesitate to say, hey, I like Bart Ehrman, but he's just flat wrong on these things.
Right, exactly. Well, that's a commendable attitude, and I know you're making a witness. Let's talk for a minute. I mean, I contend that HBU School of Christian Thought, as a faculty, that's just unequaled across the country.
And I agree.
I mean, let's park there for a minute and because we know that there are, both in the undergraduate and graduate area, there are people that realize that the times have changed. People are cognitively driven. The whole internet age has changed everything. And when it comes to theological studies, you know, you can go to this place or that place, but it is a rarity to have such an assembly of theologians that Dr. Sloan has put together at the Houston Baptist University School of Christian Thought. Give us your thought on your colleagues and what you think of them and yourself.
Well, I don't want to say what I think of myself. I guess if I think of myself, I'm just happy to be amongst the group. I really am, because it's just a great group there. When you're talking about the School of Christian Thought, you know, I think of those in the apologetics department, people like Mary Jo Sharp, Phil Tallon, Holly, and all those that are there doing the apologetics, so Lee Strobel's and people like that. The philosophy department, you've got William Lane Craig, Jerry Walls, and Bruce Gordon, and Tyler McNabb, and I mean, you just name it, Josh, and so many of the others that are there. And in the new theology department, you've got Craig Evans, one of the leading New Testament scholars in the world. I'm happy to serve there as well. And then you've got Ben Blackwell and Jason Mastin, and so many of the others who are there. And then you've got Paul Sloan, which I'm really happy. I just met him, I think, for the second time, and I had dinner with him last week. A great guy.
Yeah.
So I mean,
very smart.
And of course, your son Jeremiah Johnston there in the Department of Theology. So really cool. Just a great, great faculty, and we all get along. It's like the philosophy, apologetics, theology departments. We can all just interact and laugh and have fun, and that's just a blast. It really is, and I just love the camaraderie, the easiness with which we get along. It just doesn't happen at a lot of other schools, where you find the departments often in competition with one another. That's not the way it is with the School of Christian Thought. We all get along. I love the broad evangelical tent. I love the fact that in the Master of Arts in Christian Apologetics, you can do it either all on campus or you can do the entire thing online. We're competitive in our pricing for tuition. It gives you the option to go to the track of either cultural apologetics or philosophical apologetics. I like the more philosophical kind, that, you know, the traditional arguments for God's existence and doing things like the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. That turns me on more than the cultural apologetics. But some people prefer the cultural apologetics, and at HBU, they've got a choice. And that's not offered anywhere else. So I think our program, I think we offer the best one out there. It's certainly on par with any others, but I think we're better than all the rest of them.
Mike, I totally agree. I think, and, you know, I've had the opportunity to travel to hundreds of cities throughout all America's 50 states and many foreign countries, and I just don't know of a School of Christian Thought that has the distinction of Houston Baptist University. The professors, I mean, both male and female, which is very important. And Holly Ordway, who you cited a moment ago, you know, a former atheist who is right on the front lines, and that master of apologetics that's offered online through HBU. I mean, you obviously could have gone to different schools to be a part of the faculty. And, I mean, I know we're all drawn by Dr. Sloan, his gracious spirit and his entrepreneurial. You know, he is uniquely entrepreneurial, something not always found by a Christian university president. But why here? I mean, what was it that said, go here, go to HBU?
Yeah, well, I guess the opportunity just presented itself, and you know, there's some others that I would have considered as well. Baylor had an opening at that point, and I had looked at that one and applied for that. They ended up choosing someone else, and at the same time, I was applying for HBU, and HBU called me and asked to interview me. So that was the reason, but I'm really happy that HBU did it, because I don't know that I'd have this kind of fun and camaraderie at Baylor or anywhere else. I mean, it's just to be on the faculty at HBU is just such a pleasure. When I talk to professors at other schools, they don't have the kind of fun that we have. And I have professors at top-ranking Christian universities who have said to me, I wish we had the kind of academic freedom and the overall freedom that you guys have at HBU. It's just, it's wonderful. And it is wonderful. I love the school. I love the atmosphere. It's just really cool. And hey, I even neglected to mention Nancy Pierce. I mean, she's a huge name.
Yes.
And she's there. And we just have an all-star lineup of faculty at HBU for the School of Christian Thought, great programs, and the choice and also convenience where people can, as you know, people are doing it. We have people, professionals who are involved in their full-time professions, and they're doing their Master of Arts in Christian Apologetics from a distance. They're doing it online. They're doing it from a different state, from Ohio, and all over the country. They're California, they're doing it from. And it just works out really well for a professional who wants to get greater education, but need the convenience. They have the discipline. They just need the convenience. And we offer that.
Well, no question about it. My own daughter in the state of Georgia is doing her master's of apologetics at HBU online. We are just delighted that you're a part of the team. Dr. Lacona, tell us about what you're working on now. What is the future vision of your particular ministry? What's burning in your heart right now?
Well, my current research project, after I did the resurrection, then I spent 8 years on doing gospel differences and understanding how to read the gospels in view of their genre of ancient biography, and how this sheds light on the differences in the way that they report the same events. So that was published earlier this year. And then my current research project is on the historical reliability of the Gospels. Bart Ehrman and I had a written debate on the topic last year, gave me a chance to pull everything together and to throw it out there and see how he'd respond to some things, to maybe reveal some weaknesses and holes in the way I was thinking. And I just revised a few little things, and now we're going to be debating live in person at Kennesaw State University on this topic next year, I think in February. And that will give me further chances. I'm already preparing for that, to think of how to tighten things and the logical progression of the arguments, and do these arguments actually lead to a conclusion that I might be claiming it's leading, and how to fine-tune things. And so that's my next project, book project, and I'm hoping that will be out by the end of 2020 or sometime in 2021. We're also doing, our plans are to do more college lecturing on campuses around the country, to do more short videos and more debates, because the debates get viewed all over the world. Gosh, I debated Matt Dillahunty a little earlier this year, and that's already been viewed about 120,000 times on, mm-hmm, between his YouTube and mine. So these reach a lot of folks. And absolutely. So we're just trying to do things that can increase the scope of our ministry and how many people we can reach with the message of the truth of Christianity.
Now, Dr. Alacona, are you teaching online or in intensives at HBU? Which format are you in?
I've done both. Right now I'm doing online. So the way they have it set up for me is I teach two undergraduate courses in the fall, and then I teach two graduate level courses in the spring.
And let's take a moment to make sure everybody has the spelling of your name right. Dr. Michael Licona, L-I-C-O-N-A. And what is your website? I want to make sure we mention it.
Oh, thanks. My personal website is risenjesus.com.
Risenjesus.com. The ministry of Dr. Michael Licona, who is a preeminent scholar with expertise in the historical evidence of the resurrection, the historicity of the Gospels. That's extremely important. Michael, the last couple of years, I've interviewed about 100 of the leading atheists and agnostics and secularists and philosophers all over the world with my wife, Christy. And in fact, we filmed with them. And I'm absolutely convinced that just skyscraper sermons, one story upon another, are not going to get the job done in the age that we live today. And and I'm really, really concerned about the millennial generation and this iGen generation, those born 2005 after, who, they're the post-Steve Jobs iPhone group that's coming along. Just kind of a yippee-ki-yo, we all kind of feel God thing is not enough with the age we're in and the age we're coming. And certainly the questions that have been posed to Christy and myself as we've traveled international, it's time to up the game for people in the pew and in the pulpit.
Well, that's for sure. I hadn't heard of the skyscraper sermons before. I like that. We definitely need to up our game, and that's what the School of Christian Thought is all about, is training others to do it themselves as well as equipping them to train others to up their game.
And, I don't know of a surgeon or a medical doctor in any area of expertise who does not have continuing training. I was at Mayo Clinic in Scottsdale doing a physical a couple of years ago. And, doctors do continuous education. Should that not be applicable to, I want to reach out to the pastors and the associate pastors and particularly youth pastors who have this opportunity to catechize young people. This master of apologetics and many of the course offerings in the School of Christian Thought at HBU, they're designed for everybody, aren't they?
I think so. Dr. Gustin, they are designed for everyone. Everybody can take advantage and grow from them, and we need to. And it's like, you do have people who are doing the feelings and all that kind of stuff. Do I feel God? All these kind of different fads that last for a little bit. And at the same time, there's a movement going on with Christian apologetics. And as one of our very own philosophy professors at HBU, Dr. William Lane Craig, who is arguably the finest Christian apologist of our time, and I think probably in the history of the church. As he has said, I heard him say at a convocation there at HBU that when Lee Strobel interviewed him, he thinks we are on the cusp of a golden era of Christian apologetics. And when I'm on college campuses and I talk to students, I can see that a lot of them are very interested in Christian apologetics. They need it because their professors and colleagues there, a lot of them are just tearing down the Christian faith. They don't do it against Islam. They just do it against Christianity. And so their faith gets shaken. And so they, as the foundations of their faith are shaken, they're welcoming Christian apologetics because it allows them to hold on to their faith, because it gives them reasons. It gives them hope. It strengthens their faith. It tells them why their faith is actually true.
Absolutely.
So I do think we are on such the cusp of a golden age of Christian apologetics, and that is something to just seize and to work from that and to launch out on our mission from there.
Can't be said any better. Dr. Michael Lycona, who is a preeminent scholar with expertise in the historical evidence of the resurrection, focusing now on the historicity of the Gospels. I can't wait to see that book. Professor in the School of Christian Thought at Houston Baptist University. Give us your website one more time, will you, Dr. Lycona, as we come to a close?
Sure. RisenJesus.com.
Risen, R-I-S-E-N, Jesus.com. Dr. Michael Lycona. And I want to reach out to people listening today. You're a Sunday school teacher, or you're just a Christian who's simply tired of just reading your Bible and the devotion in the bottom paragraph. You know that God has intended for you to cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring every thought into captivity of the obedience of Christ, just as Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. And you say, how do I do it? You enroll in the School of Christian Thought at HBU. Now, let me give you the details. Go to hbu.edu/School of Christian Thought and call 281-649-3000 and learn more. Just ask somebody on the phone, I want to learn how to defend my faith and how to do what Mike Lycona has done 26 times. Imagine, when we talk about Bart Ehrman, we're talking about the religion chair at UNC, the University of North Carolina. And how proud we are of you, Dr. Lycona, standing in the gap all over this country and other countries. Keep on keeping on. You got a bunch of people behind you here at HBU that are saying thanks for being a part of the team.
Well, thanks for having me as part of the team. It's my privilege and honor to be a part of that team. Thank you, Dr. Johnston.
Until next time, this is Jerry Johnston. Think about it.
At HBU, we influence the culture around us by challenging our students to put their beliefs into action every day.